You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Tonight, our money will be on the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, the Midsummer Classic, the gold standard of all All-Star Games. Last night was the Home Run Derby, and it lived up to the hype. An explosive night last night in Miami, Florida. And even though home field in the World Series is no longer at stake in the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, you know, there's no shine taken off of this game. And I remember, like, it was like 15 years ago when they did this. Everybody thought it was ridiculous, including myself. But I grew to like the fact that the All-Star Game meant something. But with that being stated, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game has always meant something. Baseball players are selfish, individualistic guys, all right? They're stats-driven dudes. So, you know, and it's not a contact sport. You know, there's, you know, we've talked about this in the past. You watch a Pro Bowl, if a defensive back gets burnt in a Pro Bowl, he's going to laugh it off and everyone's going to make a joke about it on the sidelines. You don't see, like, center fielders in a Major League Baseball All-Star game just letting balls drop. Well, it's an All-Star game. You know, ask Ray Fosse about how competitive All-Star games are. And Pete Rose, how competitive All-Star games are. But Pete Rose is just a badass, isn't he? Dave Malinsky, he's a badass. He's going to join us on the program today. We're going to talk about the All-Star game tonight from a betting perspective. It's been one of the most dominant runs in professional sports, the American League's dominance over the National League in the All-Star game. And it's always been this way. And you know what? In the 70s and the 80s, the National League won every year, like every freaking year. This thing, the pendulum just swings back and forth when it comes to the All-Star game. I was ready to get locked and loaded and just lock it in blindly on the American League because of the numbers, but I've decided to shake things up a little bit. So you'll have to stay tuned and you get my opinion on this game. Chris Meaney's going to join us in studio. Chris is going to join me after I do my Philadelphia Eagle preview. So we can get Chris Meaney's thoughts. And hopefully Chris Meaney is nicer to me than I expect Eagle fans will be to me on YouTube. Yeah, Giant fans, you know. I've actually stood up for Giant fans in the past, sort of. But yeah, we got ripped hard. Oh, I'm sorry I didn't say your team was going to be 13-3. And then Eli Manning. Yeah, Eli Manning, he's LeBron James, I guess. Guess he's LeBron James. They both choke a lot. But that's besides the point. Giant fans didn't like the smart-ass comments, but hey, it's true. You guys dropped a lot of balls last year. Yeah, that playoff game, I took the Giants in that game against Green Bay. I took the Giants in that game against Green Bay. It was an embarrassment. You know, they got blown out. It was 38-13. Nothing to be proud about that. So, yeah, we'll talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, break down the Eagles. We'll talk to Meaney about the All-Star game. We'll talk sports with Meaney. We'll talk a little summer league basketball with the professor, Dave Malinsky, straight for the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. But the home run derby lived up to the hype. And I got to tell you what, it's not often that Chuck D, a public enemy, is wrong when he says, don't believe the hype. Well, we believe the hype, and it lived up to the hype last night as Aaron Judge's legacy has grown to be about as big as he is. Now, listen, expectations were higher than one of Aaron Judge's shots. And dear God, we've never seen baseballs hit like that before. Absolutely crushed, smoked. And, you know, baseball is always sort of slow to catch up to modern times. And, you know, that might be a good thing. You know, we're always changing everything all the time. One of the beautiful things about baseball is they really haven't changed anything. But there has been a debate as of late that there's not enough fun in the game. You know, too much of the code stuff. That players don't get to you know, express their personalities enough. One of the reasons why the NBA is so popular. And one of the reasons why the NFL is somewhat on the decline. People look at it like the No Fun League. But, you know, it's entertainment. People want to have fun. And you saw last night, normally pretty stoic type of baseball players acting like 9-year-old kids watching these balls get blasted. Now, the home run derby format is awesome right now. Could it be 5 minutes instead of four just so we get to see a little bit more power? I guess, but you know what? I was very impressed. One of the reasons why I didn't like the home run derby in the past was I didn't want to hear Chris Berman say back, 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 back for 4 hours. And the fact that it was just too damn long. Last night, very crisp, man. It started a little bit after 8 o'clock, and by 10:15, it was over. It was like a little more than 2 hours of jam-packed entertainment, and it was entertaining as hell, but it was also frustrating as hell if you bet on Justin Bour. And as great as this format is with the 4 minutes, and it's great, you have to wait till the ball lands because, you know, remember Todd Frazier just started smacking balls left and right all over the place. Justin Bour steps up and in, and, you know, the guy killed it, man. He took over. It was hard not to be pulling for the guy. And the guy hits 22 freaking home runs. Guy hits 22 home runs in 4 minutes. You figure, man, even Aaron Judge isn't going to be able to top that. Because of the pressure, that's what's so incredibly impressive that Aaron Judge did this. But as cool as his format is, we don't need the head-to-head stuff. It's not right that somebody's going to hit 11 home runs and advance into the next round, and one dude hits 22 home runs, except he's playing like Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio, and Mickey Mantle, and Hank Aaron rolled into one. Literally and figuratively, he's big. You know what I mean? Like, come on. And then somehow Judge actually freaking beats him. And don't think that these guys didn't care, man. You saw Stanton was frustrated. Bellinger got pissed off when he lost. Nobody was happy when they got eliminated from this thing. I thought Bour was going to come out and start killing people with the baseball bat. Sort of like that little girl nearly got decapitated in center field. I've been telling you guys for years, it's a bad idea to put these kids in the outfield, man. All right? Hell, I'm a grown man. I wouldn't want to be standing in the outfield out there. And if I was, I wouldn't want a bunch of other kids running around me, bumping into me when Aaron Judge is hitting line drives into the outfield. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, it was entertaining as hell, but this baseball season's been entertaining as hell. And the fact is, this baseball season has actually been one big home run derby anyways. You know what? We're on pace to shatter all-time records. Like, absolutely shatter all-time records. Now, for the record, the most home runs that has ever been hit in a Major League Baseball season was in the steroid era. 5,693 home runs in the year of 2000. This year, we're on pace for 6,177 home runs. Why are they hitting so many home runs? It's not just Judge and Bellinger. What about everybody else? What about all these other stiffs that have already pretty much doubled their career production? You know, is the ball juiced? I think they're winding this ball tighter, and you look at all the blisters that pitchers are getting. Pitchers have always gotten blisters, but not at the rate they've been getting them as of late. I got to believe the ball is wound just a little bit tighter. Are we naive into believing that the players aren't juiced? You know, they get tested. Before, no one really cared. They do get tested now, but it would be naive of us to believe that none of these guys are cheating. Yeah, that would be ridiculous, you know. That'd be like believing Bill Belichick or something. You know, like, obviously, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? So somebody's obviously doing something. And it's funny, I saw people saying it's because of analytics, because players know the trajectory to hit the baseball. And you know the trajectory. Hey, listen, players have always known the trajectory of hitting a damn baseball. It's easier to look at on a computer on FanGraphs than it is to hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. And that's another reason why, actually. Baseball pitchers are throwing faster than they ever have. This year, they're averaging 93.6 miles per hour per pitch, which is actually the highest they've ever averaged. So, you know, the ball's coming in faster. It's going to go further. I don't know what it is. If I had a gun to my head, I'd tell you they're winding these balls in a factory in Puerto Rico a little bit tighter than they normally do. What do you think? Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a lot of ground to cover on the program today, even though it appears as though there's nothing going on. That's the magic of Morenci. So As I stated, we're sending it to Vegas. The Professor Dave Malinsky is going to join us. We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles on the program today. Giant fans were very unhappy with my prediction of the Giants yesterday. And all I said was they look like an 8-8 team to me. Maybe they're 9-7. This looks like, to me, I know everyone's thinking about a big regression for the Dallas Cowboys this year. Maybe they regress a little bit, but I'm not seeing a full regression. Chris Meany's going to join us in studio, and the Professor Dave Malinsky joins us. Oh, yeah, shout out to Mike Cardano for stiffing us today again this Tuesday. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, man. But Chris Meany comes off the bench for Cardano. Dave Malinsky, bats leadoff. How you doing, Dave?
You know, Gabe, you're lucky you caught me, because I guess I'm the only one in Las Vegas who's not over watching the Rookie League games this summer. It's amazing what's been going on over there over the past week.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Dave, even my normal basketball guys can't join me because they're at the games right now. Everybody's having fun in Vegas this week. And, you know, I've done the Summer League thing before, and I'm a basketball junkie. And I did the NBA Summer League thing before. We did a week worth of radio shows in Vegas at the Thomas and Mack Center once, David. It really is the hub to be. Everybody in the basketball world is there. The GMs are there. A lot of the team presidents are there. Other NBA players are hanging out just because it's Vegas, or maybe they know one of the kids. All the big-time agents, not to mention all the hot women that are trying to pick up these young, rich guys in the NBA milling around the arena. It's a real sight to see.
Yeah, and this year you've got some personalities added to the mix. I mean, you just think about how much Lonzo Ball by himself means in terms of pushing that crowd out there a little bit more. Not only entertaining personality, but an entertaining basketball player. For good or bad, he's going to be awfully fun to watch the next couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you what, Dave, I've already been talking about it. A lot of fantasy guys are talking about this as well, in which we're going to focus in on the opposing point guard from a fantasy perspective and daily fantasy, because he's going to have a hard time defending. And I found it very interesting last night, Dave. I'm glad you brought this up. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but you know, yesterday, the L.A. Lakers played the Sacramento Kings. So it was a big Lonzo Ball versus De'Aaron Fox deal again. And the Lakers were two-point favorites earlier in the day. Lonzo Ball gets scratched from the game. Suddenly, Sacramento closed at -5.5, -6. So I know it's only the summer league, but he had an impact of 7 points, Dave. You know, 7.5 points on the point spread. The kid only scores 7 points a game. So it's just amazing to me, the public push, the public perception, and then the reality. And you look at the line market and the line move. And then conversely, Dave, we can't deny the fact that tickets that were going for $30 the other night against the Boston Celtics and the Lakers in the Summer League were being resold for $250 outside the Thomas and Mack Center. The game was sold out.
Yeah, we should say, though, part of also that line move, the Lakers also without Josh Hart and Kyle Kuzma. So they were shorthanded all the way around. But it shows, it's the good and the bad of the odds makers and the bookmakers wanting to be involved here. Okay, you want to write business during the dead time, but boy, you better be quick on the trigger, because if somebody gets the info, you know, whoever gets the info first here can do something with it. Of course, what most of the books are doing, Gabe, is they're working around it with very low limits, and you can't blame them for that.
No, and I get it. And, you know, you're right. They're in tough. I saw a total last night. I think it was Houston and Phoenix played last night. So you figure out Houston and Phoenix, two sort of fast-track programs, but they're not the pro team. And it was a pretty high total day for summer league standards. It was like 174 or something like that. You know, they put up, like, I think about 200 points. You know, like the odds makers, they're not often wrong by 25 points with a total, but they can't fully gauge what's going to happen in a summer league game.
No, they really can't, because you can't even use the game results as much of your base, because the coaches are looking to make different things happen game by game. It's almost in some ways like preseason baseball. You know, where a coach says, okay, you got to throw 80% fastballs today.
Yeah.
Okay, you did that. Okay, now today we want you to throw your curveball about 40% of the time. So it's all work in progress stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. Lonzo Ball struggled from three-point land, but for all we know, the Lakers told him, bomb away and try to, you know, you know, begin the process here. So speaking of bombs away, the Home Run Derby, there was a lot of hype last night. And, you know, Dave, I'm a pretty old grumpy guy. I've never been a big Home Run Derby guy. I've always found the whole back thing annoying. It was too long, man. It used to drag on for 3.5-4 hours sometimes. And by the end of it, I just didn't care. But a couple of years ago, they tweaked the format and they put in the shot clock, so to speak, with the 4-minute clock. They planned on doing 5 minutes, but because of the weather in Cincinnati years ago, they said, you know what, we got to speed this up because it might be a big storm in a couple hours. So they went to 4 minutes, and everyone liked it so much, they stuck with it. And it produced a lot of drama last night, as little known Justin Bour, who's not a little man, but a massive dude, he crushed the ball, he put on a show. You know, he was entertaining the fans with it, with his personality. And you could tell he really wanted to win. The guy hits 22 home runs, but he's matched up against Aaron Judge. And he, as good as Judge is, you figure, well, that's a lot of pressure. He's got to hit 23 home runs. I believe the 22 home runs is the fifth most ever. Stanton only had 21 last year in the most in a 4-minute span. There's Judge, got to come in under this pressure, Dave. And the guy beats the 22. Unbelievable.
Yeah, because I only read about this after the fact, and I will let people know, no, I do not sit and watch this. That when we have to watch sporting events over 300 days out of the year, sometimes 360, when you can back away from the screen, you do. But, you know, there's something we had talked about, I think, you know, on last week's show, though, that for a guy like Judge, fly balls are home runs for him. And that's what makes him so different in a competition like this. You still have some guys that have to make good contact to get a home run. Judge doesn't have to make perfect contact to get the ball out of the park. I just think of what the upside for his career is looking at right now.
Yeah, and his batting average is pretty good, too. It's not just like he's just a home run hitter. The kid can hit the baseball. I'll tell you what, I think the NBA's got to take notice. The slam dunk competition's got a little stale. Last year, it really sucked. You know, they've got to get more guys involved. They got to figure out a way to tweak this. Last night, I tell you, Dave, normally I don't watch this stuff either. I don't watch the NHL All-Star Game skill competition at all. I don't even know what time it's on at. You know what I mean? Like, I got no interest. But I got to tell you, last night was exciting, and there was actually, like, a lot of drama just with the clock and the way that it played out. But I brought this up off the top of the program, Dave. The fact of the matter is the entire damn season's been one big home run derby. You and I briefly talked about it. I know you wrote about this a couple of weeks ago about the ball potentially being wound up a little bit tighter. You know, I spoke with Tony Cincotta yesterday, and, you know, he said, I think we're being naive to believe that nobody's juiced up, that it's not just the ball that's juiced up. You know, you look at Mustakas. Mustakas' career high, Dave, with home runs was 22. The guy's got 25. You know, you got everyone in baseball is shattering their own personal marks. How about this for a number? You know, they're on pace to hit 6,177 home runs. They've never topped 5,700 before.
Yeah, I mean, there are things outside of the baseball that we'll say are contributing. You've got guys trying to hit more fly balls. You've got pitchers throwing harder than ever before. But it's hard to take the baseball out of the equation. And you know, Gabe, what's going to be the most interesting part of this, because they're talking about it very openly now, it's the pitchers talking about the ball. And they're not complaining about how hard it's getting hit. They're complaining about the grip. So now take a look at the increased number of blisters that have sent pitchers to the DL this year. No one's been more outspoken about it, you know, than Sanchez. You know, one of your Blue Jays up there, because he's had to go on the DL a couple of times. He has been very outspoken, saying, look, this is a different baseball right now. I never had blisters before. Somebody's got to talk about it. So it might be from the pitching standpoint that we find out where the real issue is.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And not to mention, you know, there are a lot of reasons. I don't think it's you're, like you said, there's not just one variable here. Buster Posey had a good comment. I read, and I got these numbers from the New York Times, actually. It was a great study. But Buster Posey was asked about this, and he basically stated, every guy's trying to hit a home run now. You know, and it is true. Like, when we grew up, Dave, you know, I was watching baseball in the 70s. Ozzie Smith wasn't a home run hitter. You know what I mean? They were designated home run hitters. George Foster, Jim Rice was a home run hitter. They were sort of designated home run hitters. And Posey does bring up and raise a good point in the sense he goes, now, man, 1 through 8 or 1 through 9 in the American League, everybody's trying to jack it over the fence.
And we're seeing that, you know, down at, they're saying even at the youth baseball levels, it's that exit angle, you know, that the ball's coming off the bat. It's that added arc that you're getting put into it. So that's why you're also seeing strikeouts up. But if that is a part of it, it just means it's time for pitchers to adjust a little bit. Might we see more success from some ground ball guys out there? Because they're going to take specific advantage of guys swinging over top of the ball. Look at a guy like Alex Wood and how absolutely dynamic he has been for the Dodgers this year. Big part of that, ground ball percentage is over 60. That may be one of the ways that, because you know what we had for the past decade? Everyone was out looking for the hard throwers. No, if you want to counter these new swings, get guys out there who can keep the ball down in the strike zone.
All right, Dave, so we've only got a couple of minutes. Let's talk about the All-Star game this evening. It really is one of the more interesting phenomenons in professional sports, with the American League having won 16 of the last 20 with one tie, 16-3-1 in the last 20 All-Star games. What I found interesting about this as well is how low scoring the All-Star game has turned out to be over the years, Dave. We have to go all the way back to 2005 to find an occasion, to find an All-Star game that they scored more than 9 runs. They're averaging like 6 runs a game in the All-Star game, 6.5 runs a game in the All-Star game. 7-2 to the under in the last 9. We've got Scherzer versus Chris Sale, and Chris Sale's the first starting pitcher to start the All-Star game back-to-back, going all the way back to another former Toronto Blue Jay, Dave Steeb.
Yeah, well, we can attribute a lot of this to is when we talk about, you know, the change in velocity, and I believe it's up to 11 straight years the average fastball has increased. That makes a big difference in something like the All-Star game, because these guys that average 95 or 96 miles an hour when they're looking to throw 6 or 7 innings, now they can go to 98 and 99 when they only have to go out there and throw 1 inning. And I think that radar gun will be fascinating to watch tonight. the average fastball in this game tonight, considering the quality of pitchers and the fact that they don't have to throw many pitches, it's going to be like 1.5 or 2 miles above, you know, what you see over the course of the season. So how many actual hittable pitches are there going to be thrown? Not a whole lot.
Yeah, not to mention, too, all these guys are all-stars. So all these guys are used to getting 4 or 5 at-bats a game. Some of them aren't. Some of them are coming off the bench. It's almost like coming in like in a pinch-hitting situation. Yeah, they might have taken BP earlier in the day, but it's the all-star game, Dave. You know, everything's just a little bit different. Their routine, you know, the pitcher's routine is a little bit more, he'll do a little warm-up. He knows he's only got to go 1 inning. But if you're a batter, you know, I know they got a cage underneath in the tunnel and stuff, Dave, but your routine is thrown, and then suddenly you're out there in the 6th inning of an All-Star game, and you got some psychotic All-Star pitcher throwing the ball 99 at you.
Yeah, and then when you also had the fact that even though interleague play has increased, you still don't have a lot of experience against most of the guys you're going to be up against. I said, if someone wanted to sit and just chart very, very closely throughout the course of the game, how many pitches could there have been good contact made on? It's a small, small number in this game.
I got to tell you, Dave, my boy Cam Stewart, we were doing the radio show last night, Red Heat and Rage Radio, and he said he's on the National League. And I said, you are aware, right, that, you know, the American League wins this all the time, 4 in a row, 16 in the last 20. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. I'm on the National League in this game. And he agreed with me on the under. And I didn't really have a strong position on the game, but I just keep referring back to the dominance. But I got to tell you, I look at the rosters, and I think the National League, they do want this game. But they've wanted it in the past, and it's an all-star game, Dave. This isn't a big play or anything like that. But I've changed my mind. I'm going with the National League. I think the NL gets it done tonight.
Yeah, because there is some randomness that's involved in that dominance. It's not like, you know, it should be this much of an extreme. I really couldn't fault it if anybody wanted to go that in that direction.
Dave, can't wait to start talking football with you today. Listen, the NFL preseason starts in 23 days.
We'll be ready for it. We will be ready.
They shook things up, though, Dave. Caught me off guard. I didn't realize the Hall of Fame game is on a Thursday night this year. Always on Sunday night, Thursday night this year, August the 3rd.
I think the one thing they wanted to try to take advantage of is maybe get better TV ratings, because people get out, you know, on summer weekends, and it wasn't really working for them on Sunday night. Thursday night, I believe their ratings will be a lot better.
Dallas Cowboys and Arizona Cardinals Hall of Fame game Thursday, August the 3rd, 23 days from now. Always a pleasure, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky with us. Always a pleasure talking sports with the professor. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk some Philadelphia Eagle football.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot, because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at RotoExperts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does our team-by-team National Football League team previews. It's time to talk some Philadelphia Eagle football, but before we do, let me remind you that the fantasy football season is rapidly approaching, and if you're playing in cash leagues, or if you're just playing for pride and you want to run your mouth with your buddies, then go over to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. Promo code RAGE. And I got to tell you what, there's a lot of guys over there that are a hell of a lot smarter than I am. I can't wait to look at all the breakdowns and the information. So go to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. Although, I am going to say something right now. I do think it's too early for fantasy football rankings. We don't know. Injuries are going to happen. Situations are going to change. Players are going to get caught. Players are going to get arrested. A lot of stuff can happen, but let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot of stuff happened with the Eagles last year. The Eagles raised a lot of eyebrows when they decided to draft Carson Wentz out of North Dakota State. North Dakota State, a dominant football program, but even though they always seem to beat one Power 5 conference team a year, you know, obviously they don't play the same level of competition to prepare yourself for the National Football League. I actually wondered if Carson Wentz, I knew Carson Wentz was good, but I didn't know how good. And clearly he looked damn good for the first 3 weeks of the season, but then the wheels fell off. They ended up finishing 7-9. They lost 9 of their last 13 football games. Doug Peterson, rookie head coach, came over, a longtime quarterback, obviously backup quarterback, came over after being with Andy Reid forever. So gets the job. I thought he was a little bit too conservative. I didn't like the way that he handled the running back situation. The lack of decisiveness with the running back situation was a problem last year, as was the secondary, obviously. But let's take a look at some of the numbers. The Eagles are 40-1 to win the Super Bowl, 20-1 to win the NFC. Come on, man. Like, you know, listen, I think the Eagles are improved, but you got to give me something better than 40-1. And you got to give me something better than 20-1 to win the entire conference. The Eagles are plus 350 to win the division, and their win total is 8.5, minus 125 to the over, minus 105 to the under. So we discussed Carson Wentz a little bit. You know, man, this kid, smash hits, man, all right? He was like an artist when his first single went platinum, and then his second one. And then the culmination of that week 3 win when they beat up the Pittsburgh Steelers in a football game that I lost an obscene amount of money on, and it probably ruined my year and maybe my life. Yeah, no joke, that was a bad one, man. Freaking Steelers. Man, yeah, the Eagles just kicked the crap out of them. But then, you know, then reality started to catch up a little bit. Listen, Wentz threw 5 touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the first 3 games. Then he threw 13 interceptions in the last 12 games of the season. You know, bad mechanics, man. Bad mechanics. Carson Wentz's passes as the season went on last year are a lot like Kim Jong-un's missiles. They sail high, but nobody knows where they're going to land. And, you know, it was a problem, and he was rattled. He started to run for his life. A normally rock-solid Philadelphia Eagle offensive line wasn't giving him the protection that he needed. A lack of a ground game was a problem, and a lack of weapons at the wide receiver position was a problem as well. I love the fact that he went to a QB guru in the offseason. He's worked on his mechanics. His footwork was a little bit sloppy. And, you know, the ball's going to be much more accurate right now. We know he's a smart kid. We know he can make good decisions. I think it was just more of a mechanics and a confidence situation last year. Although I do find it interesting that he had to go to a QB guru and a private QB camp when Doug Peterson was a quarterback. And I know it caused a little friction, actually. Peterson wasn't overly happy that Wentz did this, but you should be, because at least it shows you that Wentz is working on his game. And for the record, speaking of working on his game, as we speak right now, all these new Eagle wide receivers are showing up in Fargo. This has a TV show written all over it. But they bring in Alshon Jeffrey. They bring in Torrey Smith. I like Jordan Matthews. All right? I don't even mind Aguilar. And I think Matthews and Aguilar are both going to be made better because of the vets like Smith and Jeffrey. Not only is Smith and Jeffrey going to help Carson Wentz, they're going to help Jordan Matthews a lot as well. They're going to help Aguilar. There's going to be less pressure on the young wide receivers right now. Now, the drop started to add up. Philadelphia can be a tough environment to play in when things aren't going well. There was a lot of pressure. But I think Jordan Matthews can have a nice year this year. I'm not saying in from a fantasy perspective I love him, but I'm telling you, I think that he can contribute. And Carson Wentz, you know, he's going to have options right now. Now, we didn't even bring up the Ertz and the Salek combination. Tight ends, no problem at the tight end position. Zach Ertz, a stud. All right, offensive line is going to be improved this year. Lane Johnson, as long as Lane Johnson can stop getting suspended and he says, I'm not taking any supplements, I'm only eating fish and protein and chicken and whatever. Lane Johnson, a hell of a football player. He's only 27 years old. All right, Peters is still an elite player as well. I think the Philadelphia Eagle offensive line is going to be better this year than it was last year. I brought up the suspect ground game last year. Ryan Matthews, you know, Ryan Matthews doesn't suck or anything like that, but obviously has a hard time staying healthy. You know, he wasn't that bad last year, but Peterson just didn't go to him all that much. You're not going to win if Darren Sproles is your starting running back. So they bring in LeGarrette Blount. There's no way in hell that LeGarrette Blount's going to score 18 touchdowns again this year. But that doesn't mean that he still can't be effective. I still think he has some football left in him, but you see the 3.9-yard average. Blount's going to help them in the red zone. He's going to be able to plow the ball into the end in for scores. I like the Donnell Pumphrey kid a lot, actually, out of San Diego State. And don't be fooled by his size, all right? This kid can run the football. You know, look, 349 attempts. This kid broke Marshall Faulk records, man, 6.1 yards per carry. Donnell Pumphrey can play. And I'm also intrigued by Greg Ward Jr., man, hell of a quarterback with the Houston Cougars, converted over to wide receiver. And I think, you know, he's going to have a hard time sticking because of all this talent that they have right there, but Kid's a hell of an athlete. You know, Greg Ward's going to be playing somewhere. The defense, well, Jim Schwartz is a stud. He gets the most out of what he has. They arguably drafted the best pass rusher, Derek Barnett, out of Tennessee in the draft this year. So I like what they did right there. Listen, Schwartz wants to get pressure on the quarterback. They had 34 sacks last year. It's like that's not enough. You know, Schwartz wants to wreck havoc. But the problem with the Eagles is this secondary, man. And I'm not going out on a limb and telling you guys this, but, you know, your starting cornerbacks, man, are Patrick Robinson and Jalen Mills. You know, this is a little bit of a problem right now. We're talking about, like, seventh-round draft picks. We're talking about rookies. And you look at the wide receivers that you have to play. I mean, the New York Giants, You know, you've got to deal with Beckham. You got to deal with Shepard. You got to deal with Brandon Marshall. You got to deal with Dez Bryant in Dallas. And you look at the Eagles' schedule this year, and, you know, they play Arizona. They play the Raiders. They're playing a lot of pass-happy offenses this year, and they've got an extremely green and young secondary. It's interesting to me. When I look at the Philadelphia Eagles' secondary, it reminds me a lot of the Philadelphia Flyers' goaltending situation. In which, you know, just on a yearly basis, it's like, man, why don't the Flyers just ever get a goalie? I talked about this with the Giants as well yesterday, in which the Giants just refused to get a bona fide star running back for one reason or another. And, you know, the Eagles have tried. They brought in Maxwell. They've spent money. They've just been unable to solve this this problem in the secondary. And I think it could be a problem. These young guys have some talent, but they're going to be in tough, man. And this schedule, it's freaking brutal, all right? Three of their first four games are on the road. They open up against the Washington Redskins. This is a winnable game for them. And I think they almost have to win this game. Now, week two is going to be interesting. Doug Peterson goes back to Kansas City, Reed against the Eagles, mentor versus pupil, and all that type of stuff. That's going to be interesting, but you got to believe the Chiefs are going to win. The Giants always lose to Philadelphia. They always lose in Philadelphia. The Eagles have beaten the Giants five out of the last six times they've played. So, you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there. So let's say they're 1-2, they're 2-1. They can beat the Rams. You know, I'm going to say they're 2-2 right there. Versus Arizona, at Carolina, versus Washington, versus San Francisco. Looks like another 2-2. You know, and, you know, I go through the schedule here, and I look at their schedule, and I just don't see how they get to 9 wins. You know, the win total is 8.5. I just don't see how they get to 9 wins here. You look at this schedule, man. They got to play the Dallas Cowboys on the road, obviously. But they play the Seattle Seahawks on the road. They play the Raiders on the road. Like, are they beating the Seahawks in Seattle? No. Are they beating the Raiders in Oakland? No. And not to mention their division is tough as it is. As I stated, I've crunched these numbers, man. You know the episode of Seinfeld with the Michigan bottle depository scam? You know, that's me, man. I was like Kramer and Newman. I'm adding this up because I actually like a lot of things about the Philadelphia Eagles this year, but I don't like the over 8.5. I don't think they can get there. I'm going to go with a solid under. They were 7-9 last year. I think they have a one game improvement. They finish 8-8. And I think they're a year or two away. Then Carson Wentz will eventually get them into the playoffs, but not this year. Game time decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Cardano is out. Meany is in. A lot of stuff to get to. I don't even know where to start, man. We got the Derby. We got the All-Star Game. But I just broke down your favorite National Football League team in the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles are an intriguing team. Obviously, loaded at the wide receiver position. Almost an
embarrassment. Last year.
No, almost an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
Crazy. You could actually argue they're the deepest wide receiver core in the NFL right now.
Yeah, well, Jordan Matthews was their one last year, and now he's their three,
yeah.
Basically.
And something I didn't bring up in a preview. Well, I did state that Matthews and Aguilar are both going to be much better right now with the addition of Smith and Jeffrey, because Jeffrey is going to have the other team's number one DB on him.
Yeah.
Jordan Matthews isn't a legit number one guy, so it was hard for him. He's trying to catch balls. He's got the best DB on the other team in his face and stuff. Now he's going to be able to run around in the slot. He's going to be wide open. Jeffrey's going to have the best DB. They're going to have to put the second guy on Smith because Smith, you know, not great, but he's still fast.
He can still stretch the field.
Yeah, he's going to run right past you. He's going to leave Aguilar. And you know what I think is actually going to leave our boy Zach Ertz. Now, camera to Drew might think that Zach Ertz is like some average tight end, but Yeah. He Camera 2 Drew also said that Anquan Boldin had an average career, okay career.
He's like top 15 in catches, I think, of all time or something, for Boldin. I like Ertz, and we've seen Ertz now develop. Every year I see some progression from him, and that's just another option for Wentz, because I agree with basically everything that you said when I was watching and listening, of course. And the one thing that really hurt Wentz last season is the drop balls. And I know you're talking about deep threats. He can throw the ball down the field.
Yep.
It's just nobody helped him out. There was a lot of drops last year.
So he set an NFL rookie record last year, 379 completions. Now, I think he also set a rookie record. He threw the ball like 607 times.
He threw the ball a ton, yes. They were down in some football games.
Yeah, so 379 completions, but it was almost, I mean, remember the old Buffalo Bill quarterback, Trent Edwards?
Yeah.
You know, captain checkdown. like that's where we came. It was so predictable. It's like he drops back. It's like, yeah, well, I can complete it, too, like if I'm throwing a ball 3 yards all the time. He only averaged like 6.2 yards an attempt or so, but
That'll change.
The weapons. And I brought it up, man, Lane Johnson, the offensive lineman.
This guy's suspension was huge.
He's a stud, man. You got Peters, you got Johnson anchoring both sides there, guys. That's going to give Wentz some protection to find some guys open.
Well, Pro Football Focus has them graded as the number one offensive line this year. It's not Dallas. They have them graded going into the season, their projection, as the number one offensive line. So, and that's a big part of Johnson and the development that he's had over the past couple of years. One thing I like about Wentz, and looking about last year, of course, rookie quarterback, he went into Seattle. He already faced that. He's going to go into Seattle now. He knows what that situation is going to be like. That's obviously a little bit better. But six of the nine losses, fewer than 7 points. A 1 point loss to Detroit, lost by a touchdown to Washington, lost in Dallas in overtime, lost by 5 to the Giants, lost by 5 to Washington, a point to Baltimore. All of those games, I remember, he had a chance to win. So that is just good for a rookie quarterback, being in those situations right off the get-go, having that pressure, failing at times, succeeding at other times, and that's just good for
your resume. It was a roller coaster, and it's part of the development and part of the process. Not everyone's going to be like Dak Prescott and just sort of Russell Wilson and land in that perfect situation. All right.
I got them 8-8 as you. And 7-9 is probably more realistic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, 7-9. I think they slightly improved a bit. But the schedule is just
tough.
Brutal.
Yeah, it is tough.
But from a fantasy standpoint, you and I talked about Alshon Jeffrey. And, bookmaker had a prop up. Where's Alshon Jeffrey going to side? We stated, he's going to side with the Eagles. He's going to go to the Eagles or the Titans. Yeah. And they're both in a plus 800 range. But Jeffrey signs there. Torrey Smith signs there. And we got Matthews and Aguilar, and they're having there's a meeting in Fargo, of all places. I'm going to tell you, man, there hasn't been that many black people in Fargo at one time like ever before. Three guys. Four. The four, yeah. Like, seriously, like, I could just see in Fargo right now, like, customs, the airport. I don't know, Margo. I think the Bloods and the Crips have just moved to Fargo. Like, what's going on? It's okay. They're Carson Wentz's friends.
They're Wentz's buddies.
Wentz.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I love how
they're all out there eating bison burgers and stuff.
They're all looking for burgers, and I like it. I mean, they're joining Wentz. I mean, this stuff happens all the time, of course. But for what I like about Jeffrey, he's betting on himself. I mean, he's a terrific wide receiver. The one thing, the knock on him, he's never been able to stay on the football field. But he's got more yards. He had more yards last season in a handful of games than Aguilar has had in his entire career for the 2 years. So it's just that
better. Is he the fantasy guy that you're looking at on this team?
I don't want to draft him in the top 10. I have him just outside. He's like wide receiver 14 for me. He's somebody that I'm not crazy about drafting because I do think he's a risk because of the fact that he hasn't been on the football field for the past couple of years.
What about Wentz, though, with all these weapons? Issues. It's almost like a Mariota situation where they don't have a bona fide legitimate attack. LeGarrette Blount's going to help them in the red zone. I think they're looking at, we're giving the ball in the six and he'll plow it in for us.
Well, they've never had that guy. I mean, they thought they had it with Murray, but they didn't use him properly.
Exactly.
But they have that yardage guy who can get you the 1 or 2 yards. That's where they struggle the most.
And I guess they could give LeGarrette, but LeGarrette's not getting any younger. I don't think they,
he's not
they
getting double digit touchdowns.
I don't think they're looking at him and thinking, all right, we're going to give him the ball 24 times a game. So I just see a lot of dinking, a lot of dunking, a lot of throwing the ball down the field. Wentz does, I know he's not a sexy quarterback, and no one's really going to draft Carson Wentz, but he might be a sleeper and put up some surprisingly good numbers.
I agree.
If he can get from the two two touchdown passing games to three, right?
And he can move in the pocket with his legs. He had two rushing touchdowns. We saw that a little bit from him last year. I have him as a QB 19. He's not a startable quarterback, but he's somebody in case an injury happens, a good matchup. You see, he plays San Fran and Chicago. Those are going to be, that's going to be great matchups for him. And he is someone that throws the ball. And in two quarterback leagues, certainly somebody that you can start as your second quarterback. I think this time next year, we'll be talking about, is he a QB1? Is he in that 14 to 15, 12 range? Because you'll see some guys drop off, Big Ben, and then you'll see Wentz take that next step. And you know, I think that's what will happen.
He had goodwill from the Philadelphia Eagle fans because of the quick start. And they were just happy that you guys crushed the
Steelers.
Crushed the Steelers, right? So you guys liked the quick start.
Yeah.
But with that being stated, now there's no excuses. There's going to be more pressure on Carson Wentz to produce. And people aren't going to be impressed with 379-yard completions because of the dink and dunk nature of it.
Yeah.
People are
going
to want to see him throw the ball down the field. He's going to have an opportunity to right now, but that secondary is a big concern.
Oh, it's a huge concern.
Big concern for me. All right, so let's talk about the All-Star game, the Derby last night. Unbelievable stuff.
Aaron Judge, man. Like, just...
All he's got to do is just...
That's what I mean. Like, I bet you there was a third of his home runs that he didn't make great contact with. And he just flicked over the right.
You don't often see pop fly opposite field home runs in a derby. And that's what was happening. Like, he would sort of like.
Yeah, he's swinging. Yeah. He's not getting it. And you can see him put his head down a little bit, like almost like he was a little bit embarrassed that blooper is going to go over the fence. It's not just going to be caught in right field or the second baseman going out.
You had to feel for Boer because Boer's putting him up in the upper deck.
And how entertaining was he? And how entertaining? I mean, after every home run, he was like, ah. And then he was like telling the fans,
the format,
like, let's go.
Format tough. Bad beat.
Bad beat for Boer. I mean, blew a 22-0 lead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is a bad matchup for him. And you know what? He probably wouldn't have went up against Judge if he didn't get hurt. I mean, this guy was rolling. Look at 20 home runs, 59 RBIs. He was rolling until he got hurt. He suffered an ankle injury, and he missed 2 or 3 weeks of the season. He probably hits another 5 home runs, and he doesn't go against Judge. It is what it is. And very impressive stuff from Sanchez, Stanton. That was one of probably the most entertaining home run derby I've ever seen.
No, it really was. And it was more entertaining than the NBA Slam Dunk competition was this past year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
2 years ago in Toronto, the NBA Slam Dunk was great.
It was good.
Levine and Gordon went at it, and Gordon did the mascot thing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Last year, though, he tried the drone.
Yeah,
he had a drone, and he couldn't pull it off.
He couldn't dunk, and they were giving him so many opportunities.
And that's another thing. It was a big fail.
Yeah, it was.
They gave the award to Glenn Robinson basically because he dunked successfully.
Because he dunked.
Everyone failed, so it's like, all right, dude, we all want to get out of here. This is sucked. Just dunk the ball successfully. Do like a little spin.
Yeah.
He just basically went up like a warm-up dunk. Bang. Hey, I win.
I know.
It was like by default. But they got to get better names in there, and it was nice to see these young stars shy away.
Oh, what
a Bellinger, you got rookie of the year candidates here.
You get Bellinger and Judge going head-to-head.
Yeah, New York, LA.
You get the young Sano, everyone, you know, who doesn't get to watch Minnesota Twin games, and you just see how smooth his swing is. And we saw him hit a couple off the window, too. And, yeah, it was very entertaining. Even Blackman, even the people that, you know, thought, you know, is Blackman going to do good? Yeah, he did just fine. He did great.
So the All-Star game, it's been a history of dominance over the years. 16-3-1 the last 20 years the American League have won. They've dominated this thing. They've won the last four. What's interesting about this, though, is before that, the National League won 3 in a row. And in the 70s and the 80s, the National League won like 19-20 or something like that. It's amazing. They're 43-42.
Yeah.
There's a one-game difference here after all these years, even though the recent dominance. So we got less than a minute time here, Chris. Who do you like? I know this is crazy, but I'm going to go with the National League.
I'm going with the National League, too, actually. Yeah, I mean, it has been the American League 3 times. It's just that extra hit. It's that one hit. All the games have been tight. You see Mike Trout, MVP 2 of the last 3 years, Hosmer last year, and it was just because of one hit. The one thing, I think there's some holes in this American League lineup. I do like the Astros guys, and I love their bullpen a lot more. You look at Miller and Betances and Kimbrell as opposed to Neshek and Brad Hand, but I really like this lineup for the National
Kenley
League.
Kenley Jansen coming in for the
Kenley
for
Jansen,
the Dodgers.
And I just don't think there's any holes in there. It's like, I'm not going to knock Smoke and Dickerson, but there's no holes in that National League lineup.
I just think they're a little bit more explosive and athletic on the National League side of things. We've got to get out of here. But as I've stated, the last time they scored more than 9 runs in a Major League Baseball All-Star game was 2005. We'll come back with our plays of the day next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Time for our plays of the day. It's the Midsummer Classic, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. I've repeated myself a lot as of late, but the American League is 16-3-1 in the last 20 years. They've won the last four, so give me the National League. Give me the National League. And I don't know, call it a late hunch. It's like, yeah, you know what? It's like Mr. Burns. This is what good managers do. I'm playing the percentages. I thought they were due. And you know what? I like the under this game as well. You have to go back to 2005 to the last time a Major League Baseball All-Star game scored more than 9 runs. And in fact, they've only averaged 6.5. Give me the National League and the under. Enjoy the game. May the winners be yours.